Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the list in your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful's list in your boy for January 11th, 2023. I think this will probably be the best list in your boy that we ever do. We've got Jimmy Van here. Jimmy, how you doing?
Nothing to talk about today, Sean. We're gonna have to talk about Martin Lawrence movies or something.
I wish that's what we were talking about. I wanted to watch Blue Streak on a Tuesday night, one of my favorite movies, and stuff unfolded. Before we get into that rant, because there's gonna be some of that, and we're gonna break down the what is, what isn't, what did happen, what didn't happen, who screwed up, who didn't, all that is gonna be covered on today's list in your boy. I want to remind you that after this, we are live on FightfulSelect.com for the list goes on. I often tout the breaking news, but we've got the rumors threads, the debunking threads. The way that I put it was trying to find a whole turd in a septic tank. We did our best to gather those turds and put them on FightfulSelect.com. It is only $5 a month. You get breaking wrestling news, exclusive wrestling news multiple times a day. You get about probably over, on average, a show per day exclusively on FightfulSelect.com. So if you like what we do, if you want to support what we do, FightfulSelect.com. I know some of you go, why would I pay for wrestling news? And I get it. Just give it a try. I think you'll really like it. And we are one of the first Patreon properties to have anniversary billing. So if you subscribe today, you will not get billed again on the first like other Patreons. You'll get billed on the same day every month. While you're here, leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. We're finally over 80,000. I'd love to get to 100K this year, a personal goal of mine. And if you want your question or statement read on the air, because Jimmy is going to have some very unique insight. Donate a super chat here on youtube.com/Fightful. We also have Humper Chats. You may say, what in the hell is that? Well, it's our Streamlabs platform. Humperchats.com. That's HumperChats.com. We want to thank NordVPN and Manscaped for sponsoring this. We'll tell you about this later. And my last plug, Fightful Awards, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Myself, Denise, and Will.
That was Thursday night.
Did I say Wednesday night?
Yeah.
I mean Thursday night. It is Thursday night.
There you go. There you go.
All my days are running together at this point. Jimmy. Let's start chronologically. Let's do that. We're going to start chronologically. Yesterday afternoon, Stephanie McMahon stepped down. That's what happened.
You want me to start with that?
Yeah. That's what we'll start with.
Okay. Okay. I've got that later, but we can start with that. So
as Graham says, aggregators line up and get pimp slapped. Caden wants to know if you'll expense my Super Bowl trip. I will push for it.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure
Connor says, just a little thank you to everyone at Fightful. Your work is tremendous. Can't recommend Fightful Select enough. Never leaving. And we'll get the ones that are pertinent pretty soon. But yeah, let's start chronologically to make as much sense out of this as we can.
You know how sometimes in a public situation, someone will be on camera smiling and they're talking about exciting times and they're talking about how everything is hunky-dory, but you can read between the lines and you can kind of see the truth in situations sometimes publicly. I didn't know last Friday when they did that staff meeting, and it was Nick Khan and Stephanie and Frank Riddick. They did the staff meeting after news came out Vince was coming back. When they did that, I didn't know Stephanie McMahon was going to be resigning, but I had a pretty damn good hunch that she was upset.
Yes.
Do you know how I knew or had a hunch that she was upset?
Well, there was also some reporting that we did on Fightful Select about that, where she said, naturally, there's going to be some animosity. And then she paused and she said, maybe angst is the right word about this. Now, I don't have a lot of context to that. I should establish. But
I have the quote. Yeah, I got the quote. But basically, so Nick Khan handled most of the meeting and Frank Riddick handled most of the meeting. Stephanie kind of did the intro and then she kind of did a little exit. And this is a direct quote from her at the end of that meeting. And keep in mind, they were talking to WWE employees. She said, quote, we don't want there to be, obviously there's going to be some animosity or not animosity, angst, natural emotions that you might feel. And we want to make sure that we're on top of this and we're communicating with you and everyone has all the information that they need, unquote. That to me felt like a slip when she said animosity. Then you got to think about the series of events, right, that led us here. So first, last May, she took the leave of absence. And her quote in her Twitter post was, taking this time to focus on my family. That's what she said, taking a leave of absence. A month later, almost to the day, the Vince allegations surface. Then Stephanie returns as the interim chairwoman and the co-CEO. Then the Wall Street Journal story comes out earlier this month saying that in December, the board unanimously agreed that Vince returning wouldn't be in the shareholders' best interest.
Guess who's on that board?
Exactly. Stephanie's a member of the board. That means that Stephanie voted or agreed that her dad should not return.
It's also important to note she was on the board when she resigned last year. So she was privy to the information that was made available to the board about Vince McMahon's scandal. So she got out before that all hit the fan.
Yes. Yeah. And remember when she first gave her leave and everybody was wondering what's going on? Like, is somebody sick in the family? Everybody was kind of wondering. And as soon as those allegations came out, you kind of knew. Vince comes back. Now she's gone. And she's not just gone from her positions, but she's gone from the board. And when the board voted, it might have been yesterday, to reinstate Vince's chairman, she was off the board before the vote. And so all of this is very, very telling. What else have you heard about Stephanie's resignation and the reaction and the fallout?
Well, a lot of people are unhappy because people like Stephanie there. And the way that it was given to me, the way that when I spoke to WWE sources, they tried to make it like, oh, well, she's just resuming what she was doing last year. Well, all indications that were given to me is that the reason that happened is because, you know, she didn't want to have anything to do with what was going to emerge, what was going to actually come out about Vince. So,
can you blame her?
No, not at all. No, I mean, her.
Yeah. If it was my parent, I don't think I'd want to be around either. You know
exactly.
What I mean? So,
So whenever you look at that and you see that Stephanie is well-liked, well, I can tell you that this is part of what launched the Saudi rumors. Now, has Vince had some conversations? Yes, I have heard that. I have heard that. But that, compared to what ended up happening, is far, far different. And I'm going to tell you guys exactly how it unfolded.
So last night, we're doing this on January 11th. Last night, I'm watching Ozark with my wife. I'm a little late to the party on Ozark, but my wife and I are watching it. And I happened to check my phone, and there's a tweet posted by Brian Alvarez, and the tweet said, "I think Monster News is imminent." Well, what's the first thing that I always do whenever I hear about wrestling news? I text Sean Rossap. I sent Sean a text, and Sean said, "Some people think the Saudis bought WWE." And what's the first thing that I said to you? I said, "It seems too soon."
Yes.
Because they just announced JP Morgan. That was my response to Sean. Over the next few hours, mass hysteria on Twitter. That's really the only way I can think of putting it. Mass hysteria. Tell us, and you already kind of alluded to it, how did this start and where is it now?
I'm gonna go through all of it. Now, there are some names I'm not going to name because I don't think that would be fair to those people, but there are some people that probably should be named in this. And I will do my best to keep up with the super chats, guys, because I moderate Listen Your Boy myself. So last night there was a very vague tweet. Now I want to specifically say what it says, that way I can't misquote it, but it was Brian Alvarez, and it was at
9 o'clock Eastern.
It was at 8:57 Eastern. Says, "I think Monster News is imminent." Well, when that happens, I'll be the first to say, sometimes I'll post eyeball emojis, GIFs, something like that. A story is coming imminently when I do that. I'm not going to peace out. And Brian dipped out, went away, and you never know when that's going to be covered. Dave posted up there, seems like it, no idea of when a story would come or anything. When that happens, I think when I counted, Jimmy, I had over 200 DMs from the time that happened to the time I posted a tweet. And I found out what that was about, what that speculation was about. But I battled with even putting it out there. And then I talked to a sports writer who is nationally featured on TV all the time. And they said, "You know what? When this happens, Schefter will go in the air and he'll say, this is a rumor. I can't confirm it. But just so you know, this is what people are talking about." And quite honestly, I was kind of sick of getting messages about it. So I said, okay, here's what the vague tweets are about, where everybody's like, uh-oh, if what I hear, the rumor was WWE had already finalized or was working on a deal to sell to Saudi Arabia in a very vague sense, right? And I made sure to say, in no way have I confirmed this. I've been given no indication that this is actually the case. And I know where some of it emerged from. Some of it, not all of it. I can't speak to how Dave, Brian, or anybody, but there was a specific group chat among a pretty connected and prominent person who predicted and speculated it based off of the fact that Stephanie had stepped down as co-CEO. And the idea was, can't have a woman as co-CEO if Saudi Arabia is taken over. And then a person in that group chat went and fed that to a couple of people as like, yeah, I think this is happening. And then provided more details and seemed to embellish it a little bit as well. And then it went from there. Now, meanwhile, I know that I'm asking people. I know for a fact that John Alba was asking people. I know for a fact that Brandon Thurston was asking people. And we were given no indication of this. No indication that any of this was actually going to happen like that. And holy cow, man. Holy cow. What a mess. And I want to say this. I really like Cassidy. Cassidy is one of my best friends. I wouldn't have ran with that story. I like Steve Muehlhausen. He has bylines here at Fightful. He covered the Punk trial for us. DAZN made him delete that tweet for a reason,
because he did.
It wasn't true. It wasn't finalized. It wasn't. And I can't, that's why I made sure to specify in that thread, Guys, I have no indication it's happening. Here's some weird stuff that happened in Vegas, but there's nothing that I can indicate that it's going to happen. Connor says, oh, never leaving. But I'm trying to get Joel to catch up on the super chats and all that stuff and Humper chats. So hopefully we can make a little sense of this. But he'll send me a document shortly and we'll be on those guys.
It's a lot easier to fool a group of people than it is individuals. And yeah. Last night reminded me a lot of the night when everybody thought Twitter was going to die. And you and I were in one of our internal chats. And you know how I was so irritated by that. That people thought Twitter was going to die, like Elon Musk was going to invest $44 billion and let something die. And yet here were all these people on Twitter. I'm signing up for Hive and here's my Twitter goodbye and come follow me on Hive. And of course, nothing happened.
Hive broke.
I'm not going to go on a tangent, but I told you Hive was not going to work.
Yeah.
And in this case, just like you just said, I think people heard that Stephanie resigned and then human nature took over. What I wanted to do is a bunch of stuff. The first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to explain at a very high level how a typical sales process works at a high level. Because last night I posted on Twitter about how it seemed like it was too fast. They just got JP Morgan Chase. Seems like it's too fast. All kinds of people were sending me questions. And so I thought, high level, let's explain how a typical sales process works. And the reason that I want to say a typical sales process is because WWE, a sale of WWE might not be typical. You know what I mean? It's an established brand. Everybody knows who's repping them. There's no secrets. But a sales process is a sales process. And they've already kind of gone, they're started the path of a typical process. So the first thing that you do is you hire a firm to represent you. And they announced a couple of days ago that they've hired JP Morgan to represent them. I am of the belief that that was the catalyst for Vince coming back. Like this is my opinion. I think that WWE knew at least a month ago that they were going to go with JP Morgan. I think Vince got wind of it. And I think Vince thought, oh shit, the process has started. Well, they're not doing it without me. And that led to him returning. And that's my opinion. So they've got the firm to represent them. Yeah. Once you have the firm to represent them, now you have to solicit buyers. That's what the firm does. They solicit buyers. They get them to sign NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. Then they can schedule meetings with the sellers and Q&As and do the whole song and dance and all of that. That takes a little while. That doesn't take a day. That takes a little while to do. Then after that, any interested buyer, they sell what they call an LOI or a letter of intent. And basically the letter of intent is where they pitch their offer, their bid, their payment structure, all of that. The seller, in this case, WWE, they will choose one of those LOIs, one of those letters of intent. Then due diligence happens. And this is a very extensive process. They look at financial statements. They look at employee contracts. They look at vendor contracts. They might want to look at the tech code, anything proprietary that WWE owns. It's a very extensive process. Once that's all done, if they pass through and if WWE accepts an offer and if they're cool with the DD, the due diligence, then they do the purchase agreement. Then they have the close date. And because WWE is a public company, they have to have shareholder approval, which is easy because Vince has majority voting rates, and they have to have SEC approval. But this whole, you know, process that I just kind of explained high level,
do you think they would get SEC approval for something like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think they would.
Also, Joel, if you're watching, give me editing access to that document, please. Thank you.
Yeah, because they're a public company, there's different ways, because I know that there's a lot of rumor that the Saudis, if they were to buy the company, they want to privatize. And to keep it simple for people, basically they would come up with like a premium share price and they come up with like, say, a buyback date. And then on that day, the shareholders are given that share price and then they delist the stock. That's basically what happened with Twitter. I can't remember what Twitter was going for at the time, but I think Musk promised to pay like $54 a share or something. And then whenever that day came, shareholders got their $54 and then they delisted. That's more or less what would happen. I won't go into detail as to why they would want to privatize unless people want to know.
Sure. Let's hear it.
So basically the reason that you would go public, the reason that WWE went public is to raise capital because you've got people buying stock, essentially injecting cash into the company. A country like Saudi Arabia or the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, they have over $600 billion in assets. Okay, $600 billion in assets. They don't need the capital. If you are private, that means now you don't have to worry about government regulation. You don't have to worry about appeasing shareholders. You don't have to worry about the SEC. You don't have to worry about Wall Street, because if you miss Wall Street expectations, that it impacts the stock. You can basically do whatever the hell you want, and you don't have to worry about any kind of repercussion. You don't have to announce your quarterly earnings. You don't have to do anything. And so it would make sense that the Saudis, if they were the buyer, would want to be private for that reason, especially given it's the Saudis. But that's the reason that you would do it.
Okay.
Now, I posted on Twitter, like I said, it seemed too fast because they had just announced JP Morgan.
Days ago.
But I think they had already probably kind of agreed they were going to get JP in December, at least. But they announced it a couple of days ago. This led to me getting questions, and I want to address these because a bunch of people on Twitter were sending me the same questions. The first thing that people ask me is, well, Vince's majority shareholder, can he just cut a deal himself? The answer is probably not, unless the Saudis were going to cut a blank check, because due diligence is an extensive process Vince can't do by himself. He would need company staff. He would need finance people to help out, legal people to help out, IT people, maybe even production staff. The buyer gets to see all of this stuff under the hood, unless, again, the Saudis were going to cut a blank check and not care. But yeah, even
which is probably what I think they would probably need to do to purchase WWE is pay way over whatever it is that they are going to get.
Yeah. So I was going to mention this later on. I was going to talk about why would WWE even entertain an offer from the Saudis? The answer is fiduciary duty. So they have an obligation to their shareholders. They have to operate in the best interest of the shareholders. Let's say that WWE got three bids. Let's say. Last I looked, market cap was a little under $7 billion. Let's say they got a bid for $7.5 billion. Let's say they got a second bid for $8 billion. Let's say the Saudis come in at $10 billion. You have to operate in the best interest of your shareholders. If you don't take that deal, that could lead to big problems. So they would do it. But definitely, if Comcast came in at $7.5 billion and the Saudis came in at $7.5 billion, they're taking the Comcast deal, I think, all day long. But that's basically how it would work. So to answer the first question, because Vince is majority shareholder, can he cut a deal himself? No, I don't think so, because of what's required for due diligence. Again, unless the Saudis are going to cut a blank check. But even though they have all this money, when you're talking an acquisition of maybe $8, $9, $10 billion, do you think the Saudis would just cut a blank check for something like that, Sean? I don't know, man. That's still a lot of money.
It's hard to say. Like, how much is their deal worth with WWE?
Wasn't it $1 billion over 10 years?
Was it something like that? So I could definitely see them, being like, well, if we're paying $1 billion for these shows, why don't we pay $7 billion for the whole thing? Right? Like, I could see them doing that.
I get it. But wouldn't you want to see what you're buying first?
I mean, sure. Yeah.
I mean, that's where due diligence comes into play, which Vince can't do by himself. Right?
Yes, correct.
So, but that's the first thing. Something else that a lot of people asked me was, maybe this has been in the works for a while. Maybe they've been working on a deal with the Saudis for a while. Now, that's possible, but I don't think so. For the reason I just said, JP Morgan, I think, has only been with them for a month or two. And it's a lengthy process once you get your firm to go through the sales process. So I don't think so. I think it was strictly rumor. Like you said, I think that Stephanie left and then everybody's trying to figure out why did Stephanie leave, and human nature took over after that. But I think that's basically what happened. Now, one other thing I want to address, because when Vince came on board and when he became chairman, there were rumors almost immediately that there were going to be class action lawsuits.
Sure. And I do want to get to those, but we got a ton of super chats.
Okay.
Of super chats. Matt Hennessy says, let's say somebody buys WWE. Could they legally tell Vince, we will give you head of creative, then the minute the deal is done, fire him and put Triple H in charge? It depends on the deal that's orchestrated there. So I had mentioned this, Jimmy, like,
that's funny.
We had somebody that reached out about, oh, maybe I'd be interested in buying Fightful. And I told them, I was like, well, I have a deal through this period, but honestly, I would probably rework that deal before any sale. That way I would have a say whether or not I'm inked to Fightful or not. It's all dependent. And by the way, we ain't doing that shit, but it's all dependent on the deal reached with him and the buyer and the deal that he has in place right now.
Yeah. I mean, unlikely they'd want to give him a minority interest. I mean, you never know, anything is possible in this world. but unlikely they would give him a minority interest. That means that he would be on an employee contract. And if he's on an employee contract, in theory, he can be released whenever. You know, they have to pay him for it, but he can be released whenever.
KE775 says, do you think Fox and NBC will warn WWE about Saudi Arabia in terms of pulling them if this deal goes through? NBC didn't seem to have a problem running the Saudi Arabia shows on Peacock.
Yeah, so this was another point that I was going to make. So, okay, man, I'm going to get real deep. So there's a term called sports washing. Sports washing is when an entity, or in this case, a nation, uses sporting events and uses live events to try to create a sanitized, friendlier version of what they really are. And this is something that the Saudis have done for a few years. This is why they signed the WWE deal for the Crown Jewel shows. They bought the Newcastle English Premier League soccer team in, I think, 2021. And they started LIV Golf last year. And that's why they're doing it. They're doing it because they're trying to get this different westernized, you know, sanitized friendly version of what they really are, because people know about what they really are and the reputation. LIV Golf, for their inaugural season in 2022, was not able to secure a U.S. Media deal. And that's despite the fact that they had major names on board, major names, some of the biggest golfers in the world. Golf is a much more ad-friendly sport than pro wrestling is. It's considered higher brow. They look at it like the demo is just a wealthier demo. And yet they were not able to secure a U.S. rights deal. They ended up streaming for free on YouTube. And I did some reading last night for this current season coming up in 2023. There's a good chance that they're going to have to give their rights away in the UK for free because nobody wants to pick them up and pay money for them. They have not signed a U.S. deal for 2023. Who is it that heads up LIV Golf? Greg Norman, I think.
I don't know.
He has come out and he said, oh, we've got like four entities that are interested in bidding on U.S. rights. That's cool. We'll wait until we see it. Hasn't happened yet. Now, granted, WWE and LIV Golf are different because WWE has been established for decades and LIV Golf is a brand new entity. And I get that. But at the same time, like I said, WWE in terms of the ad friendliness is different than golf. And so I'm surprised they weren't able to get anything. I guess we would see what would happen. I think one thing that should be concerning is if a deal did come together, what if there were less bidders, which would then in turn bring down the price of the media rights deal, which could then in turn impact the bottom line. Now, if the Saudis were to buy and take the company private, they're not going to give shit. They don't have shareholders to answer to. They don't have to worry about anything. But I don't know. I think ultimately, if they were to buy the company, it's going to be good for the shareholders because they will pay a premium. It's going to be bad for almost everybody else.
And do you think that any of the news today is the reason why some of the dollars were shaved off the stock price, Jimmy?
Yeah, good chance. I mean, you have to remember, you know what a retail investor is, right?
Well, I've seen better shaves from manscaped.com and the code Fightful. We also have people to answer to, our wonderful sponsors, and Manscaped will make sure you don't have any accidents. You don't want to end up looking like Cactus Jack after you're taking care of your nuts and wang. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful allows you to try so many different formulations, everything in the bathroom. They got body wash, they got shampoo, they got ball toner, crop gel, plus those lawnmower trimmers. Oh, they're fantastic. They got nail kits as well. Everything at Manscaped, from the Platinum Package 4.0 to the Performance Package 4.0 to the Ultra Premium Collection, which is a men's skin and hair care kit, all covered with manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Get 20% off and free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use the code Fightful. That ultra smooth package, listen, that warm weather's coming sooner than you think. Like, it was 60 the other day here in Kentucky. So you can't just sit there and grow your dong beard for the winter anymore. You got to stay clean. You got to stay fresh. And manscaped.com and the code Fightful, make sure you are.
Good for you. Good for you.
Let's look at some of the. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Super chats, by the way. My gosh. Mr. Meowpuss said, could Vince go private with Saudi as financiers?
Financiers. I mean, they don't need funding. So
that's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, technically he could go private because he can approve it, but you got to pay a premium to the shareholders. Granted, most of the money is going to go to him, but you got to pay premium to the shareholders, meaning that's a hell of a cash ball, I guess, going out the door. So I think it's unlikely. I think that they would just sell.
Joel, what's the percentage wood, says Sean. Last night you said you were about 35% on a sale to Saudi. Given the reports this morning debunking it, what percentage are you and Jimmy on it being sold to Saudi? Well, I said 35 because I think Comcast is probably 35. I think Disney might be like a 30 or something. And then I think there are other players that are there. I look at Comcast and Disney as the ones that I look at and I go, okay. It would be hard for them to screw up and not make money on this in the long run.
I'm going to say Comcast and Amazon are the top two.
Okay, fair.
And I know a lot of people are saying Endeavor, which owns the UFC.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with Endeavor. So when they acquired the UFC, and I can't remember what year that was. When they acquired the UFC, they had to heavily leverage that purchase. Like they had to get loans and they had to get investment in order to fund a $4 billion acquisition. WWE is going to go for double that. So is Endeavor going to be able to leverage an $8 billion potentially sale? I don't know. So I don't have Endeavor high up. Amazon has been really looking to get into live sports. They signed the deal with the NFL for Thursday Night Football. I think it was $1 billion a year over 10 years. And so they got the money and they've got the distribution and then Comcast has a relationship. So I think Comcast and Amazon are the top two. Just my opinion.
There could be some other players too, but we'll get to that at another time. Broadway Joe says, something that caught my eye in CNBC's reporting this morning. They seem doubtful in how serious Vince is on selling. Maybe NBC has acquired, but Vince is blowing them off. Possible implications. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
I mean, you know, we talked about this last Friday about how, well, if he's chairman, no matter what he says, anything can happen, right? And he could change his mind and he could wake up tomorrow and decide, oh, fuck it, I'm going to run creative now. Like, we talked about how that's possible.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still feel like WWE before Vince came back, got JP Morgan. Vince heard that they got JP Morgan, figured out, okay, the process is on, wanted to come back to be part of it. I still think that a sale is where they want to go. And this whole thing about, you know, when Vince first came back, there was a lot of online gossip, speculation. You could even call it jokes, saying that Vince was going to hope to find a buyer that would allow him to maintain control, right? The only one that I could possibly see giving him that would be the Saudis.
Yes.
Only because they are so out of touch when it comes to pro wrestling. I mean,
they wanted Yokozuna and Ultimate Warrior when they were dead.
Exactly, exactly. So they're so out of touch that I could see them actually believing that Vince is still a genius at like 77 years old and capable of running the company when he's not. No other entity, you know, American based, especially like a Comcast, Amazon, they're not going to want Vince to run the company.
And also another thing that I had kind of mentioned was that Vince went off on the Crown Prince at one point. So maybe their relationship ain't so hot.
Yeah. I mean, that happens in business. I mean, you and I, we've had our battles in the past. I mean, sometimes that happens.
But I mean, it didn't lead to me screaming in your face and leaving a roster on a tarmac for a day either.
Fair, fair.
Joel says, what you're saying is it's unlikely they sell to Saudi. I heard something about them having right of first refusal on a sale in a deal they signed in 2018. Well, that'd be very interesting. I feel like that would have emerged by now. I feel, wouldn't stockholders be like, wouldn't they be given that information?
That would have come out at some point. That, some, yeah, guys like Brandon Thurston. You know, one thing that Brandon Thurston is so much better at than me is he's really good at combing over information. Yeah. And I don't have the time and I don't have the interest. Brandon's awesome at it. He would have absolutely found that. I don't think that's true.
I posted a quote from a private conversation we had, and I think it's okay that I can share it now, but he said, I think wrestling Twitter tweeted things so loud and vague, they were startled by their own echoes. And I think so too. That's why I was like, okay, Brian going to post this? Like, is something going to come out? Cause I'm getting tired of all these messages. I'm getting tired of 200 messages. So here it is. If everybody wants to know it so bad, there you go.
Right,
if you guys want to know this vague Twitter bullshit that much, all right, there you go. That's what it is.
Yeah,
tired of listening to it.
To answer Joel's question about like how likely could it be the Saudis? I mean, look, there was a report. I can't remember who it was. Might have been Alex Sherman from CNBC, I think, who said that the Saudi Public Investment Fund was expected to place a bid.
Yeah.
And so again, if they come in, you know, significantly higher than anybody else, WWE has to consider it. So you can't exclude them or you can't disqualify them. But I still think Comcast and Amazon make the most sense for a lot of reasons, but you can't disqualify them if they come in at a bid significantly higher than everybody else.
Sean Tragedy sends a super chat for media literacy. A reminder, guys, you can send super chats and humper chats. Tom LaValle shouts out SRS, Kate, Louise, Drew, Alex for last night. Well, thank you so much. And Xavier shouts out the Select Style podcast. It's a new show with Scott Edwards on Fightful Select, covering Japanese pro wrestling weekly. He says, looking forward to it. Continue to listen. He did a good job recapping. Neek says, thanks for real news, not stressful stuff. And Kate says, proud of who I work with and for. We're going to get to more of these super chats. Slick the Panda says, is it possible this was a stunt to gauge talent and employee reactions? That's something that you had mentioned, maybe not necessarily to gauge reactions, but as to gauge the market and response.
I don't think so. If they were ever able to track it back to anybody's remotely related to the company, that's an SEC problem. Yes. Because you can impact the stock one way or the other with stuff like that. No, I don't think so. I think it was exactly what we think. I think that when Stephanie resigned, human nature took over and everybody just kind of filled in the blanks with their own bullshit.
Alan Marks with a very generous super chat. He says, question for Jimmy. Aren't there U.S. SEC rules for selling to a foreign company?
Yes. I don't know all the rules when it comes to this kind of stuff. I do know that when LIV Golf was looking to do a deal with Fox, so LIV Golf was looking to actually buy time on FS1 when they couldn't secure a paid rights deal. They were looking to buy time on FS1. That had to have approval from the FCC because it was an international entity. I'm not sure about the SEC because I just haven't really looked into it, but it's a possibility, but I haven't looked into it.
Ryan said, who screwed up, who didn't? Not SRS. Jimmy, what sort of legal hurdles would a Saudi acquisition run into? How long would it take for a foreign acquisition and going private take to process? Is Comcast still easier or likelier?
I mean, I think the process would be very similar to anybody else. I mean, they have to first they have to do their own sales process, like I already talked about. Then they have to get shareholder approval, like I mentioned. Then they have to get SEC approval. Maybe it would take a little longer because it's an international entity, but they'd have to get SEC approval. And then after that, they have to do the stock buyback. And once they do that, then they delist. I mean, that's basically the process. This is not an overnight process. It takes months, but that's what would happen.
EZE says, assuming the sale to Saudi Arabia did not happen, do you think the massive negative online reaction could impact or halt negotiations with them or other potential buyers? So that's an interesting aspect, because if Saudi ends up buying it, they're probably taking it private. So they probably don't really give a shit about negative online reaction, I would imagine, Jimmy.
You know what? The best analogy that I'm going to make is from an Ozark episode that I watched last night, Sean.
Okay.
So last night, this episode, and I'm going to paint this for people that haven't seen it. There's Jason Bateman plays this character who launders money for the Mexican cartel.
We did have a super chat where somebody said that Marty Bird needs to broker this deal.
There you go. Yeah. At one point, the head of the Mexican cartel kidnaps him and wants to kill him. But the reason he doesn't kill him, and Marty Bird, Jason Bateman's character, is basically in his face saying, I hope that your enemy in Mexico, I hope he cut your head off. F you, I hope he cut your head off. And what ended up happening, the boss let him go. And the reason the boss let him go is because while he had him kidnapped, there was a problem with his business. And the only one that could fix it was Marty Bird. And so when he saw, shit, I actually need him, you know, to handle this, he let him go. I look at it the same way. Would the Saudis give a shit that that people on Twitter are like, oh no, the sky is falling? Nah, they don't care. They look at it like, I really believe that sports washing is a real thing. And I believe that everything that they've done, whether it be Live Golf, whether it be the WWE 10-year pact, all of that is being done in order to try to change the mentality that people have about the Saudis. The oil's not going to last forever, Sean. And they want to get into tourism. And for that reason, I think if the stars aligned, they would absolutely pick it up regardless of Twitter reaction.
Charlie says, if a reporter found out a source had misled them for their own agenda, would they still have an obligation to protect that source's anonymity? The way I was told is that the source said that if this wasn't true, they would out themselves. So
really?
Yeah, that's what they claim, which I'm about 95% sure I know who it is anyway. JW Pringle says, thank you, SRS, Kate, and Alex for a marathon last night. Kudos are in order for the way they handled this. Big thank you to the NXT team for doing that. That was one of our most successful shows ever. And a big thank you to you guys. Ian says, thank you for all the work you do. Best 791, a Canadian.
Awesome.
And Nick sent a very, very generous Humper chat. Thank you so much, Nick. And he says, keep on doing what you all do. Respect to Sean and Fightful for sticking to what you know and what you know is a fact, regardless if news comes out as true in the end. I'm happy to talk about like reckless speculation and rumors at this point, because listen, I am the first one to post a little eyeball emoji or a GIF. But listen, if I do that, you best believe it's either going to happen imminently or I will be explaining why it didn't. Because we're in the business of selling subscriptions based on news that we're going to report, not just walking away. And that's what I took exception with. And I was like, man, are you kidding me? Like, this is what we're doing. We're just going to avoid this and not speak about it and just like leave everybody just questioning this and wondering like, what the hell's going on? What's happening? So I waited about 30 minutes and I was like, all right, cool. Here we go. Because there was no indication that there was going to be a story or anything like that. We've got Greg B saying, given the struggle the Saudi group had in getting media rights for golf, wouldn't it be a huge risk for them to buy WWE with the possibility of Fox and NBC not wanting to renew deals with them? Well, I look at the fact that they run Crown Jewel and Super Showdown and all that stuff on Peacock, and I think maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do think that it would be helpful if they re-signed with an existing partner. Because you got to remember, too, like if the Saudis did buy WWE, they're not running it day-to-day. There's no chance. They don't know the business. They're going to want a Vince or a Hunter or even a Nick Khan. They're going to want somebody to handle the day-to-day, and they would be the conduit with whatever broadcast partner they get. So I think it'd be easier to go with somebody they have a relationship with. Might be tougher to go with somebody new. And I have so much else. I don't even know how to gather all my thoughts because I got so much else to go over. But
buddy, we got a ton of questions too. But I think Triple H might, like if a sale to another company happens, I think he could outlast them all. We had a lot of people saying, oh, well, why wouldn't a company that buy it want to keep Vince McMahon in? Look at Dana White. Well, that's a lot different. Dana White was still in his prime as far as a businessman, and it was very important that he stay on in order for it to run. You can draw a direct line to when Vince McMahon left and when numbers improve for WWE across the board, and anybody that does their due diligence is going to figure that out.
Yeah, and UFC does have a couple of people that they kind of utilize outside of Dana White, but I don't know if they have anybody like a Triple H yet, because Triple H basically, it got to the point where he was almost on Vince's level from a figurehead standpoint. Don't know if they got that yet, but yeah, they obviously needed somebody like him when they sold.
Ahmed says, Saudi would pay Vince whatever to buy WWE. It's very popular, and they would use it as a marketing tool for their 2030 World Cup bid. You just never know how this stuff is going to unfold, but it's possible. Anime Otaku says, I'm in Scotland. How would Amazon or Disney purchasing WWE affect international TV deals? Would it land on Prime, Disney Plus quickly, or years later, if ever? Well, I mean, they would have the first right to distribute those to their overseas, like Amazons and Disney Pluses and things like that. Or they could also solicit those deals elsewhere. Like, it's up to them what they want to do. For example, Anthem owns Access, and as a result, they put Impact on Access. But if they so chose, if USA Network walked up to Anthem tomorrow and said, well, we're going to put you on USA Network, they're going to take that deal. They're going to do that, even though it's not theirs, because it would be a lot of money for them, ideally.
I think they'd want to use it for subscribers, because that's that, especially Amazon, that's their business. So I think they'd be trying to use it as a value add for subscribers. Now, they do have existing contracts. This is something else that people seem to forget. They have a contract with, I'm talking about WWE, they have a contract with Comcast until, I believe, next year, January of 24. They have a contract with Fox until next year. It's not like if they sell the company in 6 months, those contracts go away.
I thought it was through 2024.
I could be wrong. It might
because,
be.
Because it started late 2019, right? So go 20, 1, 2, 3, 4, possible. 5-year deals.
Yeah, it's possible. But it's not like those contracts go away. They have to honor them. So people have to remember that. They can sell the company tomorrow, but they're still going to be on USA Network every Monday for the foreseeable future.
T-Sipper says, with the way wrestling Twitter journalists kind of caused chaos, do you think that has hurt the trust that was there? Well, it shouldn't, because the people that report literally 99% of the exclusive news, myself, Wade, Dave, Mike, and John Pollock, never said that that was happening. Mr. CJ Lilly says, sorry about Tuesday. Do you think this was testing the reaction online? Never mind. That's an Alexa super chat. That's got to go all the way up there. Koi Stalling says, Saudi sees Vince as a god of pro wrestling because that's all they could watch. They could definitely keep him in charge. I mean, still, if they're spending that money, Jimmy, they're going to do their due diligence. Like, people, like, this isn't them going to the strip club and just making it rain, like, at the first woman that they see. It's not what this is. I think people underestimate this. Also, DeShire says, is the shareholder lawsuit going to affect Vince at all? So there's an awful lot about this. Savage says, do you see Vince is sued by shareholders now? Apparently, yeah. It's abuse of power. And Mike Leotis says, there's a shareholder in Delaware suing Vince for breach of fiduciary, something or another.
Yep.
Does this carry any weight? Thanks for what you do.
All right. I'm going to try again to explain this high level. I don't want anybody underwater. So we've talked in the past on Listen to You Boy about how class action lawsuits are always happening, right?
Yeah.
And I remember used to make fun of the way that I say Yahoo, because if you go on Yahoo Finance, at any given time, there will be press releases from law firms announcing that they're going to do a class action lawsuit against WWE because they're cash grabs. That's what they are. The only one that I can think of, and maybe you can think of another one, the only one I can think of that actually resulted in a settlement lately was that one by that fire. It was like the fire pension in a state. Yes. Where WWE had promised that they were going to be getting a new rights deal in MENA, I believe it was.
Yes.
And then, like, a lot of time went by. They never got the rights deal. They got sued because it impacted revenue and the stock price, and they actually settled. That's the only one that I can think of. Otherwise, typically, they go away. Now, I want to explain this. So there is this lawsuit that just came up by a minority shareholder. He is suing Vince for changing the bylaws in order to do the things that he's currently doing. And I looked up, what damages is he looking for? So that's something I'm always curious about. Okay, fine, you're suing. What damages are you looking for? He wants the original bylaws reinstated, and then he wants his legal fees and stuff paid for. That's really all he's looking for. So let me explain high level what Vince changed in terms of the bylaws when he came back, so that people kind of get it. So there's three main changes that he made to the bylaws when he returned to WWE. First, he changed the number of board members required to call a meeting. The change provides that special meetings of the board can be called by or at the request of the chairman, the president, or two directors. And that's convenient because Vince returned with two new directors or two new board members. So that's kind of convenient, but that's the first thing that he changed. The second thing is the restated bylaws prevent the board from overruling Vince's decision as the primary voting shareholder. So it prohibits the board from amending, altering, repealing, or readopting any bylaw that was adopted, amended, altered, or repealed by the stockholders of the issuer. So that's the second thing he did. Then the third thing he did, which might be the biggest one, it grants McMahon as primary stockholder the ability to reject any new media deal, which would effectively prevent WWE from being able to access its primary revenue source, which is TV rights, without his approval. And so this shareholder, I forget his name, is suing Vince for that fiduciary duty, wants the bylaw changed. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, at least at this point, for a couple of reasons. The first reason is the stock price went up. When Vince returned as chairman, the stock price went up. If you are a shareholder of WWE stock, why are you buying the stock? You're buying the stock because you want to make money. I don't think you're buying it because you just want to, you're such a fan of WWE that you want to support the company. You're buying it to make money. The stock price went up. That's number one. Number two, if WWE cuts a deal with the Saudis and Vince is a catalyst for it, and if they're paying, say, $110 a share as a premium price, what are you suing for as a shareholder? So at this stage, I don't think this is going to go anywhere, Sean. I think it's going to be a wait and see. Now, granted, let's say that there is no sale. Maybe there's going to be something to talk about. Let's say, heaven forbid, something happens and they end up selling for like $5 billion, which won't happen. But let's say it did. Maybe there'd be something to sue for. But at this stage, I don't think there's anything. I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think anything's going to change right now at all.
GTA says, should they sell before or after the new rights TV deal? Before, because then a media company can do whatever the hell they want with it. And they are not held to those deals.
They want to sell before.
Yes.
They want to sell before. So the last I heard is they wanted to start renegotiating the next set of rights by the end of June, yes, which is when I believe they did it the last time around. That means they've got 5 or 6 months to complete a sale. And the timeline is on point, because if they got JP Morgan now, 5, 6 months, they should have a pretty good idea what's going on.
KE775, do you think the non-public information the board referenced in the letter they sent Vince comes out? It seems like WWE is becoming corporate civil war.
I don't know what he's talking about with the non-public information.
I'm not sure. They claim there's more non-public information out there. I'm sure it'll be leaked to the Wall Street Journal at some point, but here's
maybe
the thing.
Further allegations, maybe.
There's also a significant chance that whoever leaked it to Wall Street Journal is a shareholder and does not want that information out there now that a sale is possible.
You know what?
That would directly affect them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're right. That's possible. But there's got to be now, what, 4 board members that have left the board? I think 4 board members have left, maybe 5 board members. 5 board members, if you include Stephanie, have left the board. I'm not going to point fingers and I'm not going to speculate, but it seems like it's getting easier to figure out who might have leaked that Wall Street Journal story.
We've got a bunch more super chats. Fats Falafel says, not sure anybody's brought this up. Elon used Saudi funds to help in the purchase of Twitter. Pure speculation. Maybe Vince secured funding to purchase remaining shares, become the sole owner of the company during this time away. Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, he doesn't need to be, Jimmy. Like, he can do whatever he wants.
No, but what he's, in order to buy out the shares at a premium price, which is what you'd have to do to avoid any legal repercussions.
Sure.
I don't know how many shares are outstanding right now, but it'd be at least $100 a share. Vince isn't sitting on that kind of cash. So what this person is saying is maybe they're going to have the Saudis fund his purchase of WWE. I don't think so.
Sure.
I don't think so. I mean, in theory, could it happen? He's got the voting power. In theory, it could happen. I don't think so.
Justice says, is there any idea of who, what the group is looking to buy? Like, is there a name or face we can put to it yet? I mean, Ryan says Disney is also leveraged from 20th Century Fox acquisition. They're about to pay Comcast a minimum of $27 billion for their stake in Hulu. Comcast might be able to match Saudi if they want. I mean, I still think that Disney would look at WWE and be like, it'd be hard to screw up making money on this. Like, it'd be very, very hard for the amount that they would pay. And again, you have Raw, SmackDown, PLEs, and the Saudi deal. That's four concurrent billion-dollar deals. If you spend $8 billion on that, again, you would have to be real inept to not make your money back if you're Disney. So, I mean, this is one of those things where you look at it and you go, well, yeah, not only in 20 years will this pay off, it'll made money hand over fist. This isn't a loss leader type of acquisition to me, Jimmy. This isn't something that they just throw on one of their networks. To me, this is a legit, honest-to-God moneymaker, because these concurrent $1 billion deals might be worth more now, Jimmy.
Yeah, but one thing I don't know is what the executives at Disney, how they view pro wrestling. Like, have you ever heard anything about how the people within Disney, how do they look at pro wrestling?
They got UFC. They got UFC, and they got Dana White slapping his wife, and he's still, yeah, I mean, like, see what I mean? Like, it's...
I don't know. I mean, anything is possible. I still think Comcast and Amazon are the top two, but anything's possible.
Emily says,
what's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Disney under, especially under Guy Iger, isn't going to want a notorious geriatric sex pest Vince McMahon under their family-friendly umbrella. I agree. And KE775 says, with their suspicions, Vince will try to overthrow Triple H or Nick Khan since they didn't support his initial overtures to come back. Yes, there's always suspicions and concern. Talent that I speak to are very, very concerned about the idea that he could be back. I mean, that's the thing I get asked of more is Vince coming back? Is he handling creative? There's talent from top to bottom upset about that.
I'm not going to lie. And you know, I hate speculating on stuff. When Alvarez did that tweet about Monster News is imminent, and given that Stephanie had resigned that day, I thought Hunter was gone.
Sure. That's what a lot of people thought. That was the initial thing that people thought. And speaking of Hunter, Ryan says, if Triple H stays on as chief content officer and it is truly his vision, or does he now have to implement Vince's vision? It's supposed to be his vision. That was stressed to me. That he is still in that role. He is still overseeing live events, creative, and talent is what I was told repeatedly. And I know Raj Geary was also reiterated that several times.
Yep.
TV There's a, said,
I'm ahead, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
TV says, Sean, I asked about the third company arising for the U.S. On Select with the wholesale element and subsequent fallout. I think it makes it more likely. Thoughts? Okay, so... Swagless also says, are either of you able to break down how it'd be possible for Triple H to start his own promotion, such as financial backing, TV deal, who could you see on the roster day one? Well, first off, it's impossible to determine who like would be on the roster.
That's not going to happen.
I think there'd be some people that would leave wherever here to do that if there was major financial backing, but it's been very, very difficult for people to get financial backing. Lucha Underground couldn't get significant financial backing. ROH couldn't get that with a giant media company. Impact has struggled to get it with a media company. Global Force Wrestling couldn't get that. Triple H probably carries a little bit more of a cachet there, but it'd be very, very difficult, Jimmy.
I mean, forget about the legality aspect. I don't know what he has in his employment agreement.
Yes.
You know, that's a whole one other aspect is just the legality aspect. The funding is massive. I mean, AEW has spent hundreds of millions of dollars and not everybody can do that, including Triple H. And is he going to get a television deal? You know what I mean? Are you going to get a network? How many, as you just mentioned, how many have Billy Corgan, Sean, Billy Corgan with his connections could not get a television deal.
Somebody mentioned him buying NWA, and I was like, well, first off, I do think Triple H could afford the NWA if he wanted to.
Sure.
But that also was like, you know what? Not the worst idea. I'll tell you
Hell, something. I think I could afford the NWA, Sean, but do you want the NWA?
I think you for sure could afford the NWA. Do you want to buy it?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you something that will save you some money and legalities. It's NordVPN.com/Fightful. 70% off your plan. Additional 4 months free. 30-day money-back guarantee. Works on all your devices. You may say, works on what? It allows you to get pay-per-views at a much more discounted rate. Like the UFC pay-per-view that's going to be $80 in a couple weeks. I'm paying like a sixth of that. Not only that, you can watch AEW without commercials with AEW Plus. You can get the old WWE Network interface. You can block malware, block online pop-up ads, and block online trackers. When you're on that unsecured Wi-Fi, you're traveling, you're flying, you're doing any of that. Maybe you're at a restaurant. NordVPN.com/FIFO protects all your devices. I use it on everything. Phone, laptop, desktop, PC, even my TV and router have NordVPN.com/FIFO on it. And again, 30-day money-back guarantee. This will end up saving you money after the first pay-per-view that you purchase. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
You threw me with Manscaped today. I was all set to go with Blue Chew and Athletic Greens, and you threw me with Manscaped, so I didn't see that one coming.
Well, we got Michael Branson saying, between the time Trips took over as COO and talent relations, and Vince returning, was anything stopping Hunter from adding no cut clauses to the returning talents? Not really. In fact, I had heard that Nick Khan had been in favor of them last year and Vince wasn't. So I don't think there was anything that prevented him from doing that. Tony says, Vince is head of the board again for less than 24 hours and some form of chaos has already happened. Disney buys WWE. Certain wrestlers' talent better delete or be wary of what they say on their social media pages. Disney does not play the conspiracy game. That is also true. There would be a lot more to that. But also, you might wonder exactly how Disney would handle the contracts as well, because they might have a little bit more say over what people say on social media. Ryan Martin sends a very generous super chat and says, question for Jimmy, because I know people are afraid of Vince taking over creative, but doesn't Vince have to abide by his SEC filing where it says he's only back to negotiate a sale and TV rights deal?
No, I mean, that's not law. That's just basically just a statement that was made. That's not necessarily law. He's already shown that he has the power as the majority shareholder to change bylaws to suit his needs. If he wanted to be part of creative, he could be part of creative. I'm still not convinced that that's going to happen. I realize, like we talked about on Friday, that, you know, he changes his mind, you know, seemingly any day he wants, and he could wake up and decide to go to Raw. But it just seemed from the very beginning like his interest was in helping facilitate a sale, probably because he found out that they got JP Morgan. That's what it sounds like to me.
A reminder, after this show, we are going to be on Fightful Select. We're probably going to talk about Mercedes. Which one person sends a super chat and says, the big question, is it Monet or Monet? Well, she says it's Monet, so it is Monet. She decided the name. But we'll be over there talking about that, but we are going to wrap up our super chats. Ryan says, apropos of nothing, how's Triple H's relationship with Conrad? I'm sure it'd be great, but he ain't a billionaire. All due respect to him. He's got a lot of money, but he's not a billionaire. Joel says, not completely relieved, but at least you guys have softened my worries a little bit. I would literally be okay with any buyer but Saudi. I think a lot of people feel that way, Joel. So that's certainly understandable.
I finished, but then I want to touch upon what Joel just said about
go ahead
with the Saudi. So I was thinking about, okay, let's say that a deal happened. And let's say, because there is a possibility. I mean, like I said, there was a report that they're going to put forth a bid. And if they offer more money than anybody else, it is a possibility. So I was thinking about what could be the fallout if the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund acquired WWE. And there are so many, I don't want to be doom and gloom, Sean, but there are so many potential negative repercussions. First and foremost, heaven forbid, what if there was another Jamal Khashoggi incident? Yeah. What would happen if they re-signed with NBC Universal, let's say, or even before the contract is up? If something happened like the Jamal Khashoggi incident, could that force one of these networks to pull WWE off the air? Could that happen? Then let's say, because they do want to do the sale if they can before the next round of rights. Like I mentioned, what if that impacts the next round of rights? What if they have less buyers? What if the valuation drops because of that? What about talent like Sami Zayn?
Yes.
Who's just had the best year of his career in 2022. Well, he's not going to want to work for a Saudi company. What about people that are loyal to Sami Zayn like Kevin Owens? Yep. He's got family to think of, obviously, but that's an element. What about the women, not just on the talent roster, but in the office?
Completely agree.
That could be something, right? So there's a lot that could potentially happen here, and we'll just have to watch it play out. And the next 6 months are going to be very interesting.
Trevor asked if the locker room could stand as one and not perform. There's several that told me that they wouldn't if that sale went through. T-Sipper says, this is for Jimmy. Who do you think is more likely to get it in a deal in general?
Comcast or Amazon.
Okay. WWR official says, are you surprised WWE hasn't come out in an official statement about no sale being imminent to curtail some of the negative media coverage and consumer sentiment? I can tell you that PR was very quiet last night, but it was also 10 p.m. Eastern. Today, I've talked to a few of them, and they're just like, ugh, type of thing.
I will say this, and this is a question for you.
Okay.
So Meltzer posted something this morning that was kind of interesting. He said that when the UFC was negotiating their sale to Endeavor,
yeah,
they no-sold everybody. He said they no-sold the media, they no-sold the staff. When rumors were coming out, they shot them down. And then it wasn't until like the day of the sale that everybody found out. Do you remember that time? And did you have any dealing at all with anything related to that? Do you remember it playing out like that?
Yeah, that is how I just remember waking up one day and all of a sudden it happened. Now there had been some murmurs, but then just poof, it happened. That was pretty wild. How that,
cause that comes to mind with something like this, you know what I mean? But I still think it's too early in the process to announce a sale.
King Enigma says to Jimmy and SRS, hypothetically speaking, during the time he was retired and stepped down, was there anything preventing Vince from negotiating with the Saudis to perhaps expedite the process of a potential sale?
Technically, it's possible.
Yeah.
Technically, it's possible. But when again, this goes back, not to be a broken record, but it goes back to, would the Saudis want to cut a check blind? There's so much to the process Vince can't do on his own. Like even the presentation. So once they sign the NDA, once anybody signs the NDA, basically JP Morgan will make a deck. So they'll make like a document that's got a lot of high level information about WWE. And then they use that for a presentation and select people, probably Nick Khan. It would have been Stephanie, but I guess now Vince, maybe Michelle Wilson, George Barr, who knows, but people from the board will be part of a presentation. They answer questions from a potential buyer. I don't know if Vince can handle all of that. Would the Saudis care? Because like we kind of are joking, they would just cut a blank check or cut a check blind. I don't know. But you think for that price tag, they would. You think they would want to do their due diligence. Vince can't handle that on his own.
Emily Duda says, do you think we'll ever hear Steph and Triple H's side of what happened, or do they have to sign NDAs and stuff?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure that Stephanie's got provisions in her contract. About
sure
things like
NDA'd
that.
To the hilt.
Yeah, and let's be honest too. It's still her dad, and it's still her dad's company. I don't think Stephanie. I saw somebody was joking. They put a picture of Stephanie behind an RF video screen. You know what I mean? That's not gonna happen.
No,
she's not gonna do that.
What's the percentage? Wood says it wasn't UFC private at the time, Jimmy. I feel like WWE being publicly traded would make it a different situation because they have to be transparent to shareholders.
I mean, so far they are. They announced that they got JP Morgan Chase, which is, like I said, the first part of a typical sales process. Now, Vince was the majority shareholder who was not part of the company.
Yeah.
And so in theory, any shenanigans that might have been going on, you know, should he have informed the rest of the shareholders? I suppose. But he wasn't a representative of the company. That would be like you or me buying stock in, you know, United Airlines and then just talking to somebody about United Airlines. I don't know if it really meant that much. It sounds to me like they have followed the law, even though Vince changing the bylaws is a little suspect, but that's about
Dakota it. Asks if WWE would sell to a media company, would what happened to WCW happen to them? I don't think so, because that wouldn't be the result of a merger like WCW was. It would be them specifically acquiring a property that they think could be beneficial to their media, to their libraries and things like that. WCW was a part of something else that they just got as a part of a merger that they didn't want anymore.
Exactly right. WCW, I can't even recall back then if WCW, if they were paying WCW for rights or if WCW was paying them for airtime. I don't remember because that was a long time ago, but very different situation. Time Warner did not own WCW.
Yeah.
So it's not the same.
T-Sipper says, this may be ignorance, but it doesn't seem like a good fallout for WWE if a deal with Saudi went through, at least from a face value. It would be great for shareholders, and that's the thing. When shareholders got out, they would make a ton of money based on almost everybody that had invested at some point in time. But
yeah,
it wouldn't look good from a PR perspective, for sure.
Most of the board are not executives, company executives.
Yeah.
Aside from Nick Khan and Hunter's still there, and Vince lists himself as executive chairman, and executive chairman means that you are basically part of the company and not an independent. But otherwise, most of the board are not part of WWE, and so they don't give a shit. They're going to get their money and they're out. And Nick Khan's going to get paid, Sean.
Yeah.
So do you think he's going to care? I don't think so. I think at this point, Hunter would be the one that would probably care the most.
Yeah. I agree. Somebody asked if there is no list goes on today. It is. It should have posted already, but I see that I did mess that up. So I'll fix that. The post will be up in a few minutes on Fightful Select, but we've got some super chats to get through right now. Justice Gillum says this only applies if the Saudis buy, but once the rights to the WCW, ECW, or AEWA libraries are up, do you think they would re-up them or let them go? That's not a rights thing. Like they own those.
They own it, right? Can you imagine, Sean, if most of wrestling history, in terms of the video library, most of wrestling history is owned by Saudi Arabia? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And Mr. CJ Lilly says this was all a test to see how things would go if they did with the Saudis. They own many foreign entities and haven't imposed their beliefs. I'm not sure what they own. I don't know. I'm not that learned on that, to be honest with you. And Big J wraps up the sale talk by saying, I started this episode very behind. Maybe it's been answered. Will wrestlers walk if it's Saudi? And how could the wrestlers legally do it? The same way that they do it without Saudi. The same way that people just walk out now. Can't force somebody to do something. They'll write out their deal or negotiate something. But yes, some people will.
I mean, I think back to the Montreal Screwjob, and I'm not suggesting that it's the same locker room and same mentality, but the Montreal Screwjob, everybody said they were going to quit. And a week later, they were all back. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
There was one other thing I should mention.
Rick Rude wasn't. British Bulldog wasn't. Jim Neidhart wasn't. They all left.
Neidhart wanted to be there. He wanted to be. But somebody asked me on Twitter, couldn't this be a good thing because the Saudis have shown a willingness to spend money? Like, couldn't this mean that the talent's going to get paid all this money? And my answer is the Saudis aren't going to run it. Mm-hmm. They would own it. They're not going to run it. And so it would really come down to whether or not whoever is in charge is all of a sudden willing to pay so much more money.
Brown says, thanks for helping me stay sane with the crazy speculation last night. Proud new subscriber. Well, thank you so much. Manuel sends love to the Fightful team. Proud to support your work. Love hearing Jimmy talk about corporate stuff. He's flawless in that field. He is. It's a great benefit to Fightful to have him. Trey says, percentage of Jay White and Tama Tonga signing with WWE. Jimmy, yesterday on Fightful Select, I broke what I thought was going to be the biggest news of the day. Switchblade Jay White's deal is up soon, and WWE is interested, as is AEW. I would have said before yesterday, the likelihood of him going to WWE was probably 75%. And I would put AEW at about 15%, and then him staying with New Japan to some degree at 10. But Mr. CJ Lilly says, guys, first, sorry about Tuesday. Do you think this is testing online reaction? Because the way people reacted tells them a lot. And then they say Alexa is the face of fear. We had kind of addressed that one.
Yeah.
But Edward Liu says, how does or would all this affect the likes of Rock and Cena returning to Mania? Seems like PR nightmares for them to return now, Jimmy.
I think a lot of it, again, would stem from who's in charge. So if the Saudis were to buy it and Vince is, you know, is maintained or captain or Hunter's kept, then I think the odds would go up. But if they had to go with a new executive team, then I think the likelihood is less, unless they just miss it so much that they want to be there. I mean, neither one of them needs the money. So I think it would depend on who's in charge.
By the way, guys, if you say that you sent in a chat, it is helpful if you tell us what it was. But we are looking through them right now. As to see who sent what in earlier. We got Nice Guy Rye saying, the reporting last night clearly had holes in it. The domino effect of those errors impacted the reputation of anyone who is a working journalist or is perceived one. In that way, I'm frustrated for you. So, yeah, I saw somebody that had posted out there like, oh, wrestling journalists look fucking stupid last night. And I was like,
saw that.
People who literally report 99% of the exclusive news did not do this. And they're like, well, why are you taking an exception? Well, because it was a sweeping generalized statement. And quite honestly, Fightful breaks over half the news in pro wrestling. So yeah, I'm going to take exception to that. If I looked at Jimmy in the face and said, Jimmy's are fucking dumb. And then he said, man, what are you talking about? And I go, whoa, 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 not you. Not you, though. He'd be like, well, it certainly seemed like it was about me. You said it in a pretty direct situation. John says, for listing your boy, with them being married, is it possible if Linda could do something to stop Vince's plans? Not a thing.
No.
Not a thing.
Last I looked, I can't remember the exact number, but I think his voting rights is 71%. I think. Yeah. So, no.
Nice Guy Rye says, WWE's silence last night blew me away. That got out of control quickly, and it's more important than ever to communicate effectively to shareholders and fans. Ill feelings towards WWE festered all night, and we know when stuff is false, it can fester. Yes, it can. There were some people very concerned, but I can tell you about the Vince thing with him forcing his way back. WWE was very, very eager to say Triple H is still running creative, specifically to our audience. I think that's very important to note.
Right.
Brent Lockman asked my favorite stoner brand. I don't know. I don't get a lot of paraphernalia. I smoke joints and go to sleep. Joseph says, here to say SRS and the Fightful team remain the best in the game. Select is the best $5 you could ever spend. Thank you so much. And Ryan says, thanks for keeping it real last night with this mess. Media literacy is the big key here, but also journalistic ethics. Unrelated, what are you most looking forward to at the forum tonight and most likely return debut? Zero faith in my Ravens winning Sunday. Well, I hope there's zero faith because I'm going to be there thanks to my dude Drew. I really appreciate him. But please follow Common Bengals W. That is my Bengals vanity project that I'm doing just for fun now. So check that out on Twitter, on YouTube as well. But what am I most excited for? I want to see what the hell's going on with Mercedes. I want to know if I'm either saying, damn, they got her, or man, this was promotional malpractice. One way or another, Jimmy, this is going to be so, what I'm talking about.
I got to say this. If they don't produce her, then I got to be critical of Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Because on the one hand, they did announce that, okay, Tony Storm is going to be the partner. But they did it in such a way that Sheeta was there to make and be jealous, to make you think she's going to lay her out. And originals, they did the little
or originals versus.
But they also outsiders. Did the subtleties, right? They did the subtleties, like Britt saying, you know, I'm the boss or whatever.
Yeah.
They did the subtleties. So if they don't produce her, you have to be critical of AEW for the teases. But then the people are going to defend them and say, well, they announced Tony Storm as her partner ahead of time.
And depending on where the show is, I think the rest of it could be flaccid without the news of Mercedes popping up there. But I tell you what won't be flaccid. Your penis, Jimmy, when you use bluechew.com and the code Fightful. That's right. Get the same active ingredients of Viagra and Cialis for a fraction of the price in a chewable tablet that gets in your system whenever you're ready. Or how about this, Jimmy? Whenever you're not. I know that's a big thing with you. Whenever you're not ready, it makes sure the mood arises, much like your erect penis and your sexual performance. Do an online consultation with one of Blue Chew's physicians, and if approved, it ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But you know what we say, there is nothing discreet about your package when you use Blue Chew. The mailman is not going to know what they're delivering to you, but before long, word is going to make way around the neighborhood, and that mailman is going to know what you're delivering to somebody else. And then you know what? Maybe that mailman's after you, or mailwoman, I don't know. Maybe that mailwoman's like special delivery, but it's not going to be about what they're bringing to you. It's about what you can bring to them with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. And you right now you get that first shipment free. Just use the code Fightful. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. Chewable, perfect for you. Then the next thing you know, you'll be dropping that package in the mail person's slot, if you know what I'm saying. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Still got a few super chats before we hop over to Fightful Select and the list goes on, where we'll talk more about Mercedes. Jake says, Yuka is in LA. Sasha just trained with her in Japan. Maybe they both show up on Dynamite tonight. Heard ideas of a Joshi stable led by Mercedes and AEW. I don't know what the plans would be for Mercedes, but I would love the idea of originals versus outsiders, blood and guts. I think the women deserve it. And if you've got Saraya and Sasha Banks and the champion, and you got Britt Baker, and you can throw Thunder Rosa in there when she's ready, I think that carries a lot of weight.
Jade, Devin, too. I love Jade.
Devin the Doppler says, if you had to pick a percent for Mercedes being Saraya's partner, what would it be? I'll say 50-50, but I'll say her being there, I'll throw a big 90% just because I'm optimistic. And this is not me knowing anything. I'm optimistic that they won't screw this up. Optimistic. Matt says, last night's why I love the Fightful family and someone who's smoking the weed. Can we rec spec on the odds of Mercedes appearing tonight? What's your percentage, Jimmy? What percentage do you give it?
Okay. So this is purely speculation. I think now that Vince is back on the board, it's a higher percentage. So before I was probably, because AEW is not going to bring anybody in short term. They're going to want her for at least 3 years. And I wasn't convinced that Mercedes Sasha was going to want to commit necessarily for 3 years. But with Vince back on the board, I'm going to go over 50% now. I would have gone under 50 before.
Thank you for everybody who's sending me the screenshots of me trending in the sports topic on Twitter. Just what I wanted.
Because of the Saudi rumor?
Who knows, Jimmy?
Maybe the Deadspin article.
Maybe
Superstar?
Maybe I touched somebody's inner thigh as you do, or whatever it is that maybe that got posted there. Maybe that's why. Michael Higgins says, what do you think the odds of Tony Khan pulling something big tonight to put the news spotlight back on him? Dynamite has a solid card tonight. Well, I don't think it's to put the news spotlight back on him. I think he was already planning to. This is a major, major show for AEW. They've been hyping it for 6 weeks, Jimmy. Sure, so I think it's very, very important.
I mean, they had Jericho in town for days. He did PWG. He showed up at the LA Kings game on
the Clippers games as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So they had him in town for a few days. This is a big deal. And the PWG thing was awesome. That was a cool.
It was phenomenal. PWG hasn't had that much buzz in a long time. I saw that they also ran Jordan Grace versus Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Who went
love
over? That.
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. By the DVD in 3 months, Jimmy. Ryan wraps us up, says, thanks SRS for keeping it real last night. Oh, well, we already read that one. But I also want to thank Joel for coming in here and helping me with these super chats. There's no way I could have kept these in order. Guys, we have a wealth of interviews this week. And I'm talking like interviews all over the place. Over the last week, we've had Grayson Waller, Josh Alexander on the Wrestling Perspective podcast, Wrestling Perspective podcast got quoted on the Mandy Rose interview that she did this week. We had Lady Frost drop. Me and Lady Frost tried to make an in-person interview happen 6 times. And we finally made it happen. Veda Scott with Grapsody has been doing great. This Friday, I got Taylor Wilde, but you're getting a double dose this Friday, guys, because Mickey James on the Wrestling Perspective podcast drops ahead of Hard to Kill. So then, usually we have Wrestling Perspective on Sunday, right? Well, that's not going to be the case this week. So instead, I'm dropping an interview with Crowbar. I was so excited to meet and interview Crowbar, who is a physical therapist as his day job, Jimmy. And he did some work with Joey Janela, and Joey Janela said, "Buddy, we got to get you back in the ring on AEW."
Is that right?
Stuff like that. Yeah, it's a phenomenal story. He talks about how he almost signed with WWF in the 90s to go on the road as a physical therapist / wrestler. It is fascinating. It is a fascinating story. You guys are really going to like it. I still have a bunch of those interviews. Also, one that I want to put over from a week and a half ago. We had Matt Young and Joel Pearl do interviews with Cody Deaner about a week apart. So what we did was combine them for like a 40-minute double feature. Jimmy, you know this. Cody Deaner has been all around, everywhere. He's a very smart wrestling mind. Also, he recently stabbed Eric Young, which is very important for you guys to hear about. But we are back tonight, AEW. And here's the thing. We're here every night. Every weeknight, we're here. And on Thursday, tons of shows. The Spotlight. You got Day After Dynamite. You got the Fightful Awards at 8 p.m. And you got Post Impact.
I want to say
Kill is this weekend too, Jimmy. My God.
I want to say one thing about Mandy Rose. If you haven't seen that interview she did, I'm sorry, what's the lady that did it again? Tamara Hall. Okay. If you watch that interview, that is a masterclass on how to do media after you've been essentially fired by your employer.
Let's go talk about it on The List Goes On, because I got some insight.
She did fantastic in that interview.
Thank you, guys. Until next time, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.